counsel of the ungodly, nor stood in the way of sinners, and hath not sat in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law will he exercise himself day and night.
Good morning and welcome to this service of worship, coming to you from the community of St Andrew's and St George's West Church in Edinburgh on this, the sixth Sunday of Easter. You will find our order of service on our website, and you're invited to join in the responses in bold type. You'll hear several voices this morning. Our opening prayer is led by Barbara Finlayson. The poem is read by Mary Godden. Our scripture reader is Mary Margaret Scott. The prayers of intercession are led by Margaret McRae and Donald McRae. Our vocal ensemble comprises Eleanor Wilson, Caitlin McGillivray, Drew Crichton, Tim Cooper and Andrew Carville. The pianist is Tim Cooper, and the service was produced by Andrew Carville. Through the Spirit, we are together in this time of worship. I invite you to join in our responsive call to worship. God of love, as Jesus reminded his disciples that love is always the answer, love us. Receive our response to your love. Receive our praise and our worship. We worship God in the singing of an ascension hymn, blessing and honour and glory and power. Ascension Day is this coming Thursday, and it marks 40 days after Easter Sunday. It's when we commemorate Jesus' ascension into heaven to prepare a place for us.
Blessing and honour and glory and power, wisdom and riches and strength evermore, give to the Lord who our battle hath won. Whose are the kingdom, the crown and the throne? Into the heaven of the heavens hath he gone, sitteth he now in the joy of the throne, weareth he now of the kingdom the crown, singeth he now the new song with his own. Soundeth the hymn of the heavens with his name, ringeth the earth with his glory and fame, ocean and mountain stream, forest and echo his praises and tell of his power. Ever ascendeth the song and the joy, ever descendeth the love from on high, blessing and honour and glory and praise. This is the theme of the hymns that we give. We the glory and praise to the Lamb, take we the robe and the harp and the palm, sing we the song of the Lamb that was slain, dying in weakness but rising to
Let us pray. Eternal God, source of all love, we worship you this morning. We come as we are. Some may have had a sleepless night and come in need of rest and restoration. You know each of our needs. Give us all your Sabbath in this time of worship. You are the giver of life and breath. Reveal yourself to us. Dwell with us and abide in us. We live because of you. We hope because of you. Maker and giver of all, forgive us when we are too preoccupied to notice your presence in our very changed days, when we walk through holy moments and fail to recognise you. Instead, we can feel abandoned in the vast sweep of life as each day rushes at us with its challenges. Open our eyes to your presence, God of love, that we may lean on you, for you uphold all of your creation in tenderness and love. We join in your community of love, love that is given, not earned, love that is granted, not demanded, as we pray the words that Jesus taught his disciples, saying, Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. Save us in the time of trial, and deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen.
The Psalms are good companions for whatever we are going through in life. One way to make them our own is to paraphrase them for ourselves. You might like to try it with a psalm that is significant to you. Listen now to Becky Durham's version of the 121st Psalm. I lift my eyes above the fear, above the loneliness, above the anger, the worry, the grief. I lift my eyes higher than my line of sight, and I wait. From where does my help come? When will my help come? How will my help come? I lift my eyes, and then just in the time I know my help is here. The Lord, unchanging, unshakable, ever watchful, ever faithful. My help comes from the Lord, lover of the fearful, companion of the lonely, soother of the angry, quieter of the worried, comforter of the grieving. My help comes from the Lord, the one who keeps me always.
Thank you.
New Testament reading continues in the Gospel according to John, when Jesus is preparing the disciples for what lies ahead. This passage calls us to recognize the mysterious, interconnected nature of our relationship with God. And this text sits alongside another verse assigned for today from the book of Acts, chapter 17, about the God in whom we live and move and have our being. Listen now for the word of God.
The gospel reading is from John, chapter 14, reading verses 15 to 21. The promise of the Holy Spirit. Jesus said, "If you love me, you will keep my commandments. And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate, to be with you forever. This is the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him nor knows him. You know him, because he abides with you, and he will be in you. I will not leave you orphaned. I am coming to you. In a little while, the world will no longer see me, but you will see me. Because I live, you also will live. On that day, you will know that I am in my Father, and you in me, and I in you. They who have my commandments and keep them are those who love me. And those who love me will be loved by my Father, and I will love them and reveal myself to them." Amen.
I have a question. I wonder how many of you made your bed when you got up this morning. That might seem a bizarre, quite personal question to ask, but it's prompted by a conversation I had a few days ago. A friend shared how difficult she is finding it now that her daily routines are so disrupted. She's used to having quite structured days, but now that scaffolding has been taken away, and having no routine leaves her getting less done than she wants to, even with more time to do it. I don't think she's the only one. Then she began to make a small but significant change to her day. She started making her bed as soon as she gets up in the morning. Rather than reaching for her phone to check the news, she now smooths the sheets, straightens the duvet, plumps the pillows, and makes a corner of order. When there is so much that can't be straightened out, it makes a difference to start with what she can accomplish, however small. And it got me to thinking about the significance of the small routines that punctuate my days. I've become more aware of the significance I now place on my mug of coffee in the morning and my tea in the afternoon. Before lockdown, I confess I was happy to dunk a tea bag in a mug. But now I have dug out a teapot, and it may not be a Japanese tea ceremony, but my afternoon beverage does now involve a cup and a saucer. I like to think my mother would be pleased. The pattern of our days looks very different, but I imagine that some kind of pattern has developed for you over the past weeks, however restricted. Human beings move in patterns. We make patterns out of chaos, and we're shaped every day by routines that can help us or hinder us. With the deliberate intention of making her bed each morning, my friend moved from routine to ritual. Routines are actions that just need to be done. Rituals are given meaning and purpose. For her, the significance of making her bed carries on beyond the act itself. By not reaching for her phone first thing every morning, she's developing a new pattern that helps set her days off in a more constructive direction than before. If there is to be any gift in this time, it could be to train ourselves to live with our eyes open to God in the everyday and the mundane. As Kathleen Norris says, we must look for blessings to come from unlikely everyday places. And everyday life looked at through the lens of small practices and rituals could be the difference between drudgery and epiphany, between chaos and comfort. Sitting on a freshly made bed in the morning, we can begin the day talking with God. Stirring a cup of fairly traded coffee can remind us that God is a God of justice, and spoons are meant to feed others as well as ourselves. Picking up the post from the mat is an opportunity to pray for protection for all essential workers. A telephone call, made or received, can come just at the right time, like a nudge from God. See? I'm here. You're not alone. It's all part of God's love for us, each of us, made real. In the church, we have lots of patterns or rituals. They're rituals rather than routines because they hold significance beyond the action. And this is probably most evident when we celebrate the sacraments. And the patterns have evolved to shape our lives towards God, just like a garden trellis guides and supports a sunflower growing to face the sun. And now, more than ever, when our patterns are disrupted, when we can't say, be with a loved one in the fading of the light, or comfort the grieving in person, we may need new rituals to shape our days. A lit candle beside a photograph can hold a significance far beyond the action itself. It can be sacramental. There are moments when we know beyond reason or explanation that the Holy Spirit is right with us. More often, though, I think we recognize this remarkable gift of God in the active presence of others. So to be socially isolated can have us feeling bereft, orphaned, in a way that goes beyond the social isolation itself. It can feel like spiritual isolation. The first hearers of the Gospel of John felt like orphans. People can feel orphaned at any age. This gospel was written down several generations after Jesus' death, at a time when people may have been feeling bereaved, wondering if they had been abandoned. So it's no wonder that Jesus' reassurance to those first disciples that he would not leave them orphaned became so significant to the hearers of John's gospel. Jesus tells his disciples he will send them an advocate. Beyond the legal sense of the word, it means one who brings help, consolation, and encouragement. And all meanings of the word derive from the most basic meaning: to come alongside. We will each have our stories to tell of how we experienced feeling that someone was coming alongside us through these days, perhaps just when we most needed it. You might want to begin the practice of writing these moments down. Experiences of the Spirit at work. And these experiences shape us. Through them, we live into Jesus' commandment to love one another in a way that is shaped by the Spirit. We become soul friends. In the Celtic tradition, the Annam Cara was a soul friend with whom you could share your innermost self, your real self. Whatever else, when so much is stripped away, the common ground of vulnerability, authenticity, and fragility is shaping us as Annam Cara, as soul friends. And with Annam Cara, there is no such thing as spiritual distancing or isolation. Thanks be to God. Amen. We're going to sing a hymn with new words to a familiar tune. Words that speak into these days where the call to care finds central place. It's a hymn that confirms our calling to love as Jesus calls us to love. From heaven's attendant host you came.
From heaven's attendant host you came to meet and lend us on your knees. The Saviour servant still you plead to know me of the least of these. And then to show
ever-loving God, we come together in prayer in the hope and assurance of your commitment to us, to others, and the life of this planet.
We pray for our world, where the ravages of this virus continue to be experienced in challenges to life and to livelihood, in a world where despair itself could isolate so many. May your Spirit empower us to reach out in love.
We pray for our church as it continues to respond to very changed circumstances. What has not changed is your call to seek out the best way to live out your love in the world. Bless the newly inducted moderator of the Church of Scotland. Grant him wisdom in his leadership that is filled with heart and with soul.
Pray for those who suffer pain and ill health, with their families and friends and all who care for them, in hospitals and care homes, at home and far from home. We pray for those of any age who have been left orphaned, for families grieving lives lost, that they will know your comfort, that they may experience your peace, even in the midst of the storm.
Fill us with your love.
We pray for those who do not know the consolation of your presence in their lives, those whose dreams have been shattered and who now summon the courage to seek a new direction in their lives. Reveal yourself, O God, so that all your children may find their true home in you.
In your love, in your spirit, in your life,
we ask and we act. Amen.
We move into the rest of our day, remembering the promise Jesus gave us never to leave us orphaned. For we, his disciples, live in him and he in us, a promise that gives us courage and comfort. I invite you to join me in claiming his promise. Wherever we are in God. Wherever we are in Christ, and Christ is in us. Wherever we are, the Spirit abides with us and in us. We are upheld by God in every way. May all see the divine in and through us.
The Lord.